Well, thank you for that, and welcome everybody to the online Breaking of Bread. Welcome everyone here, and it's good to see our friends and faithful here with us again for a Breaking of Bread, and some thoughts, some hopefully fruitful thoughts in regards to Romans 13, which we just read before. And this time we're just considering the second half, which is Romans 13 verses 8 to the end, which is 8 to 14. So without further ado, we'll get stuck into it with a section on love, really. I mean, there's a love and a mixture of different lessons we have here, but we'll start at verse 8 anyway. Verse 8 reads, "Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law." So we see here that we owe others love. It's interesting here how it speaks of love, of course, love being the sacrificial love, that is the agape. And it tells us that we need to love to fulfill the law. The law here, in the Greek, means to pass out or to pass on. So we are to pass on this love. Why? In doing so, we pass on the love that God has given us. We must pass it on. We have to. It is a gift, not a possession. We do not own it. It is a loving gift of love that God has given to us. In verse 9, we read, "The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself." So it is summed up in this one rule. Word rule here is, of course, the word logos, very well known Greek term, of course, meaning purpose or plan of God, especially in this case. So it says love, of course, being sacrificial, as we read before. Love your neighbor. Neighbor, anybody other than yourself. So love your neighbor as yourself. We see that it is God's logos or purpose for us to love others as we love ourselves. And our neighbour is anybody besides us. So, practically, it's everybody. God loved us first, before we had a chance to love back in any way, shape, or kind. His desire is to pass this on to everybody we come in contact with. So this is his logos. This is his plan. In verse 10, it reads, "Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." Love does wish no harm to its neighbor. Love, agape, of course, is the fulfillment of the law, which, as we read before, means passing on. Law here is passing on. So here we see that we fulfill the circle of God's purpose-built love by loving others as ourselves and passing on this love. We are indeed fulfilling the very purpose of love. Love's purpose is only fulfilled by passing love itself on. If God's love is not passed on, it is therefore not love to us. God's love was only invented so that it could be passed on. interesting thoughts, anyway, as far as love is concerned. In verse 11, this reads, "And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." So, it is now the time to wake, or, as the Greek puts it, now is the waking time. So now we are living in the waking time. We should be in constant wakefulness spiritually, without sleep or slumber. Our salvation, my dear friends, our salvation and deliverance is much closer than when we were first told these truths. Paul urges us to share this love, for we are now much closer, he says, to deliverance than we could ever realize. Moving on to verse 12. What interesting insights can we get out of this verse? It reads, "The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." So we see, my dear friends, our night is soon to be over, and very soon we will see the dawn's light approaching very fast. We must therefore put aside the works, or as the Greek translates, business or vocation of darkness. So it gives an indication of a busyness to work in, or a business to run, a business of darkness. We must put this aside. We need to stop working for King Sin. This is something we should not partake in. We must stop working for King Sin. Let us use the armor, which in the Greek actually means a preparing tool. It is a preparing tool, this armor. So we must use the armor or preparing tool to put on this light, which is the shining of God's manifestation. Let us put on the armor or preparing tool which helps us put on the light, which is the shining of God's manifestation. This actually is a good interpretation of that verse. It's a good translation of it. Because if we see the armor as a preparing tool, which is what armor means here, and the light as the shining of God's manifestation, it really links into the understanding of what Paul's trying to put across. So let us, my dear friends, put on this shining manifestation of God. Verse 13, it says, "Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy." You see, friends, if we are working in the brightness of God's manifestation, none of these things will mean anything to us. We will have no interest of these negative traits that Paul spells out. But also note, as Paul probably indirectly notes here, that God is no discriminator when it comes to sin. As we read in that list, jealousy is in the exact same boat as debauchery. We may, between ourselves, say, "Oh, jealousy is nowhere near as bad as debauchery." But to God, quite frankly, it is all sin, and we must stay away from any of that. It's God, as I said, God is no discriminator of what particular dire level of sinning it is. It is all sin to God. In verse 14, the last verse there, we read, "Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now, interesting, I think this verse would probably have to be one of my favourites of this section, because the imagery here is perfect. It says, we must, in the Greek, clothe. Now, the Greek translation of clothe here actually means sink into. So we must sink into our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, that reminds me of a huge, fluffy, warm doona on your bed, in which, of course, you're really tired and tired of the world and want to come home and just jump on your bed and sink into a doona. Well, this is the imagery here. It literally means sink into. So we can come home from the world around us, and we can jump into this fluffy, warm doona of warmth, of course, which represents Christ. Not that we can't jump into it at any time, but it gives us this imagery of being able to get away from the silliness, the fickleness of this world. For if we sink into this fluffy, warm doona of Christ, we will have no, in the Greek, forethought or allowance. So we will have no forethought or allowance for our human nature to upset us. So really, with this whole sinking in to Christ, or putting Christ on like a garment, or sinking into him like a doona, we will cut the enemy off at the pass. There will be no forethought or allowance for any of evil human nature desires of weakness to upset us. So, in conclusion, my dear friends, what lessons, what can we pull out of this that hasn't already been pulled out? In conclusion and summing up, let us remember, my dear faithful, that we have a debt to each other to provide love. Always, as much as we can, we have a debt to each other to provide love. For God's love can only be love if it is passed on. In fact, this is almost the very definition of God's love. It is a passing on. This is God's logos, or purpose, with his love. We need to remain spiritually awake for ourselves and for others, for our deliverance is very nigh at hand. Let us not employ or work for darkness, but prepare ourselves to put on God manifestation, like a robe, like a garment, or a sinking into a wonderful warm doona. We need to put on God manifestation. If we work in the light, there is no time for sin or darkness. Above all, let us sink into the feathery doona of Christ and invite all we meet to be warmed by him too. So in respect to the emblems now, this is who we are remembering right at this point of time, and who we shall see very, very soon. My dear friends, brethren and sisters, the dawn is almost upon us. Thank you.